If you'd open up your Bible with me to Mark chapter 13. This is sometimes referred to as Mark's little apocalypse, a brief teaching of Jesus about the second coming of our Savior. Mark chapter 13, and I'm going to start reading with verse 24. Hear now the word of God. But in those days, and these are all, by the way, the words of Jesus. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. It's a good word for church, isn't it? The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I grew up in the kind of family where we were in church and us kids in Sunday school every week. And somehow I got to junior high without ever hearing the promise that Christ was going to return. That somehow got left out of the curriculum. And I will never forget sitting in on a Sunday night in junior high youth group. The year was 1970, and a book had just come out. It turned out to be the best-selling religious book of the next to the Bible, the best-selling religious book of the 1970s. And I'll bet some of you read it. It was called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And my junior high youth leaders had read that book and came in all excited one night to youth group and said, this is incredible. It's happening right now. Christ is coming back. And all the events of the world today have lined up, and it's going to happen any day now. And Christ is going to come back riding a horse. He's going to be wearing a robe dipped in blood and carrying a great sword. And isn't this wonderful? And we all said, and I didn't say anything, but I was thinking, no, this is not wonderful. This is scary. There are two equal and opposite errors that we can make about the promise of the return of our Savior. One is to become obsessed with the return of Jesus, to the point of trying to line up current events with prophecies in the Bible and then trying to set dates. Just a few years ago, you might remember there was a fellow on the radio down in the Bay Area named Harold Camping. Anybody remember this? He set the date twice. Now Harold Camping is with the Lord, and he still doesn't know. Because only the Father knows, right? Jesus said the angels don't know, even the Son doesn't know, the Father knows. It's in His wise hands. So that's one error, to become obsessed to the point of date setting and scaring the bejabbers out of middle schoolers, junior hires. But I will tell you, and this is just an aside, then as I went on into high school, and some of you may remember, those days, the early 70s, were in many ways apocalyptic times. And as I grew as a Christian and learned to, well, the anticipation of the return of Christ gave great urgency to our faith. We were sharing Jesus with our friends on the high school campus because we didn't want them to be left out when Christ came. And so it gave us a sense of urgency, a sense of anticipation. Now, the opposite error, the first one is to be obsessed with it and try to set dates. The other one is to ignore it as if the world is just going to keep on going the way it always has and nothing's ever going to change. No. Christ is going to come back. And every eye will see Him, and He's going to judge the world with righteousness. We think of the incredibly awful, painful things that we see going on, and it's nothing new. It's been going on since the beginning of history, since Cain murdered Abel. But I'm thinking of something like the 21 Egyptian Christians who were beheaded, and then the video shown around the world, and we ask, how long, O Lord, how long? And the answer is not forever. There's a limit. There will come a day. You've heard me say it before. There will come a day when there will not be a tomorrow. And that's going to be a great day. Because the righteous judge is going to come to set this world right. Now, let's take a closer look at the text. And I'm going to take us through this verse by verse, so you may want to follow along in your Bible. The key to this whole teaching is two words: stay awake. It's repeated throughout this text. And remember, repetition is biblical underlining. Stay awake. Be alert. Don't go to sleep spiritually. Have your eyes open. Now, more on that as we go along. But look at verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the heaven. We just sang that old African-American spiritual, "O Lord, what a morning when the stars begin to fall." It's looking forward in hope. The stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Now, in ancient times, people actually believed that the stars could influence our lives here on Earth. Can you believe it? Somebody believing that, something that nonsensical? They believed that the stars influence, and in fact, many ancient cultures worshipped the sun and the moon and the stars. The Romans worshipped the sun. They called it Sol Invictus, the unconquerable sun. So, even though this image of the sun being darkened and the moon not giving its light, or the moon being turned to blood, and the stars falling from the sky, that sounds really scary to us, right? It's actually symbolic of hope that these false powers are going to be exposed and are going to fall away, and Jesus, who is the true light of the world, is going to be fully revealed. And everyone will see Him. Now verse 26. And then, Jesus said, they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. In other words, his second coming is going to be a public event. So he's not going to quietly and secretly slip into the world as he did the first time around. People will see. In the Old Testament, and he says they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds. In the Old Testament, clouds are symbolic of the presence of God. Now, given that this is where the world is going, we as Christians are to live by the end of the story. So given that this is the way the story ends, with the righteous judge returning, how then are we to live? Well, look at verse 28. Jesus said, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. Okay, now what is the lesson of the fig tree? When you see its buds coming out, you know something's coming. Summer's on the way. In fact, we're experiencing this right now, aren't we? I know in my yard, the trees are beginning to bud out. And by the way, I hate to admit what I'm about to admit. But even after 24 years in Idaho, I still have a California calendar in my brain. And by the end of February, I'm really ready for warm weather. And wondering why it's still cold. And so when I see the trees start to bud out, and maybe the daffodils starting to poke their way out of the ground, that's really hopeful, isn't it? Because it's a reminder that summer's on the way. Warm weather's on the way. But there's another lesson of the fig tree. It's not only to have hope because something good is coming. The other lesson of the fig tree is you can't stop it. It's coming. Spring is on the way by a power infinitely greater than any of us. Nothing in this world can stop Jesus from his ultimate victory. Nothing in creation is powerful enough to stop what God is doing. As somebody, some smart aleck once said, I've read the back of the book, God wins. And nothing can stop him. And we're to take hope. Look at verse 31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So behind all of the cataclysmic events that Jesus has been talking about, and there's more if you read the opening of chapter 13, behind these seemingly cataclysmic events stands the eternal strength and power and truth of Jesus. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will not pass away. His words are more enduring, more dependable than the sun and the moon and the stars. Now, verse 32. But concerning that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, that should put a squelch on our speculations. But it does something else. It leads to a therefore. And the word therefore isn't in there, but it's implied. No one knows the day or the hour except the Father. Therefore, be on guard. Keep awake. For you do not know the time that he will come. So in other words, our ignorance of the timing is not to instill apathy, it is to instill vigilance, to keep awake. And then there's a mini parable in verse 34. Jesus said, it's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. In a sense, all Christians, in the sense of this parable, all of us are doorkeepers. And we're given one job, stay awake. The Greek word there is actually exousia, which means authority. We're given one authority. We are authorized to do one thing, stay awake. Don't fall into spiritual slumber. Five times and in three different ways. It's a very simple job. Let me read on verse 35. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. Now, this begs the question, what are we to watch for? Are we to be, get our calendars out and trying to set the date? No, we've already established that. And we're not just to spend our days gawking at the heavens. In fact, you may remember, it's in the first chapter of Acts, when Jesus ascended into heaven, and his disciples were standing there with their mouths open. It doesn't say that they had their mouths open, but you know they did. And suddenly several angels appeared, and said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the heavens? This Jesus who you have seen, he will come again in the same way you saw him go." So they're affirming that he's going to come again, but they ask the question, why are you standing here gawking at the heavens? The implication is, you've got work to do. So what does it mean to stay awake? What does it mean to keep alert? Well, the beginning of an answer, I think, is found in noticing that in verse 35, when Jesus charged us to stay awake, he ticks off what the Romans called the four watches of the night. The Roman army divided the night into four watches. There's evening, there's midnight, there's cock crow, which is at about 1:30 or 2. And you might think, if you think that cock crow ought to be at dawn, you've never had chickens. Those darn things fire up in the middle of the night. Anyway, it's the watches of the night are evening, midnight, cock crow, and then the dawn, the morning. You do not know when he will come. Now, in the very next chapter of Mark, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus will plead with his disciples, "Please, keep watch with me. Stay awake." And later that night, when Peter for a third time denied Jesus, remember, he heard the cock crow. And Jesus had said, "Before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times." And remember, in chapter 13, Jesus had said, "The master may come when the cock crows." So, what are we to watch for? Okay, we'll get to that next week. No. I'm going to tell you a story. True story. This is from a Southern preacher named Fred Craddock, and I'm just going to read it in his words. And it's a story from his life when he was a graduate student in Nashville in the 1950s. He said, "Late at night, I would often take a study break at a little diner near my apartment. I would go in at around 11:30, midnight, sometimes 1 o'clock, and order a grilled cheese sandwich and a cup of coffee. I went in so often that after a while, I didn't even have to order. The cook would see me coming and put a cheese sandwich on the grill. Well, one night I went in and I noticed a man who was there before me but had not been waited on. My sandwich and coffee were brought to me at the counter, but still the man was not waited on. Finally, the cook let out an impatient sigh and went to the old gray-haired black man at the end of the counter and in a rough voice said, 'What do you want?' The black man quietly said something. The cook went to the grill, scooped up a hamburger patty, put it on a piece of bread, no condiment, no napkin. The cook handed it to the man, who gave him some money, and then went out the side door to sit on the curb by the garbage can and eat his sandwich." And Craddock concludes the story this way. He says, "I didn't say anything. I did not reprimand or protest or witness to the cook. I did not go out and sit beside the man on the curb. I didn't do anything. I was thinking about the questions coming up on my New Testament exam. I left that little place and went up the hill back to my room to study. And off in the distance, I heard a cock crow. What are we to watch for? The Holy Spirit led Fred Craddock to that moment on that night to be a witness for Jesus, and he was asleep. And how many times have I been asleep when the Lord led me into a situation where I could be his servant and I had an opportunity to share the love of Jesus? We don't know when our Lord is going to return. So, therefore, stay awake, Christians. He is leading us every day into opportunities to serve his kingdom that will one day come in its fullness, but we get the gift of serving that kingdom now. But we have to stay awake. Be people of prayer. Be people steeped in the Word. Be in fellowship together where our eyes are opened and we learn to stay awake. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord Jesus, along with Fred Craddock, we know that we too have missed so many opportunities to serve your kingdom. But you're so gracious and you're so good. You pick us up and you dust us off and you send us once again. And you lead us into those opportunities where we can be a witness for you. Give us spirits that are awake in you, Lord Jesus, and watching for your coming. Not gazing at the heavens, not trying to set the date, but watching for your kingdom that will surely come in its fullness and is already here, but invisible to most of the world. Give us eyes to see, and we pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.